Morning, family.
Morning.
Definitely good to see so many out this morning. We know we may have, but this being holiday season, some traveling or out of town, we pray that they'll enjoy their time away, but also return back to us as safely as possible. Happy Thanksgiving early, but every day really for Christians should be a day of Thanksgiving. The only time you take time, to thank God for what He's done is this time of year, then shame on you. We have something to thank God for every day. We woke up this morning, we need to thank God. He gave us the reasonable portion of health and strength to join us, we need to thank God. Thank God for good, thank God for bad, and even thank Him for indifferent. So we should be a Thanksgiving people at all times, whether this is the time our country sets aside to give thanks for many blessings that we have. Last week I began series of lessons, or a lesson entitled Remember What You Ask of God. And I didn't quite finish with it last day, so I kind of broke it down into two parts. So let us begin at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to begin at verse number 7 through 12. We'll do a review, and I'll get into the part that I want to give us this morning, and then the lesson will be yours. Matthew chapter 7. Beginning at verse 7. And it reads as such. Ask, and ever shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. For what man is it there of you, whom if thy son, his son, ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Remember what you ask of God. And sometimes we forget. Sometimes in our prayer life, and as I said before, you know, prayers, we have the blessing of prayer. That's one of the most beautiful and one of the most important blessings that God has given us. Prayer is a spiritual blessing, reviewing a little bit from last week, for those who are in Christ. God speaks to us through His Word, and we respond in kind in a relationship with Him through prayers. You know, think about this for a moment. Think about the fact that God loves us enough to give us and allow us to make our requests known before the very throne of God, as it says in Scripture. You know, sometimes our prayers can be confusing. Last week, we did a little case study on the prophet Elijah, because Elijah was a praying man, as I like to say before, and I said last week, there are no superhumans in Scripture. He was a man just like you and I, but he was oftentimes a man seeking to do God's will. Sometimes God led him in situations where he didn't understand. Prime example, when He told him that it would not rain for 3 years. He led him by the brook Cherith and fed him with ravens. He didn't understand that. But then, reviewing a little bit, after that, his food ran out, so then he went to a poor widow's house. And then he stayed there, and basically, if you look at it on the surface, he took her last meal, because she was preparing that for her and her son to die. So then that happens, and then you see him, God prepares for him and provides for him to eat, and by doing so, he blesses somebody else. And then, on the Mount Carmel, when he was facing over 400 false prophets, and he prayed and called down fire from heaven to rain down on the altar and destroy all those prophets that were there. So we see that prayers, God does hear prayers of those who are righteous. So last week, we left off on the fact of why God answers prayers, but this week, I'm going to talk about how God answers prayers. And when you think about it, you know, some people say, well, I'm still praying. God didn't answer my prayers yet. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. You know, we see in Matthew chapter 7, it tells us to ask, seek, and knock. That's a continual process in our lives. It does not mean that God has not heard us the first time, but He's also teaching us some things. He's teaching us perseverance. He's teaching us patience. But He's also teaching him to learn to say, whatever lot we are in life, thy will be done. Thy will be done. So today I won't keep us long this morning, because it's just a continuation of lessons I didn't get finished last week. But now we're going to talk about how God answers prayers. Point number one, we first must believe that God hears our prayers in the first place. Unbelief. Oh, they go too fast? I think I did. I skipped one. I'm sorry. I'll go back to this one. First, number one, then we get to number two. We must believe that God hears our prayers. Unbelief definitely stops God from acting in our prayer life. Matthew 6:6 says we pray secretly, but God rewards openly. Acts 10:1-4. And here's something for us to think about. God, Cornelius' prayers came up as a memorial to God. Now, at this point in time, he was not a Christian, he was not saved, but understand this, his ears were turned open to the fact that he needed to be told what he must do to be saved. But he did these things in secret. Luke 18:1, where we get the parable of the poor widow who asked the unjust judge to make amends for her, to avenge her. She continued to basically beg and bug this man, this unrighteous judge, until he decided, because she wouldn't leave him alone, to answer her prayers. But first we must believe that he hears them and that he is all-powerful and can do so. How many times have we gone to God in our prayer life like this? God, I don't know if you're going to hear me. Well, stop right there. I don't know if you're going to answer. Stop right there. Well, I kind of believe what Scripture says, but you know my situation is different, so I kind of doubt that you're going to help me in my situation. So we don't need to do that. So when we go to God in our prayer life, we need to go to him, first of all, believing that he exists, and that he has a reward of those who diligently seek him, according to Hebrews 11:6. So we see this, and we must do this in this mindset. Again, going back to Matthew 7:7-12, it's a process of asking, seeking, and knocking. So first of all, before we get into how he does it, we must decide that he does exist, and he does hear our prayers or the prayers of those who are considered righteous in his eyes. Point number two, sometimes God says no. In 2 Samuel 12:15-23, David prayed fervently for the life of his child with Bathsheba. But God said no because of David's sin against him. But notice after that, David was still considered to be a man after God's own heart. Now, how many times in our prayer life when God gives us the answer no, we don't take no for an answer? Because we can. We can do what we want to do. God doesn't affect free will. Prime example. He said no to Adam and Eve with that tree in the midst of the garden. Did they listen? No. But do you see the consequences? It cost them a whole lot. It cost them eternity in paradise at that point in time. Paradise on earth or the Garden of Eden. It cost them. He tells us no, but sometimes we don't want to hear no. We want what we want. The heart wants what it wants. That's what some folks say, right? Yeah. The heart wants what the heart wants, but oftentimes the heart is wrong and deceitful above all things. So don't necessarily trust what you do feel like is right in your life. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God, and then we don't have to worry about it. Even when he answers no, we must learn to trust that he will work it out for our ultimate good. So this is what he does. This is what he promises. God always knows what's best. And I learned in life, and I still struggle with this sometimes, no ain't a bad word, and it ain't a cuss word either. Now what I mean by that is sometimes we don't have the ability to say no when we should say no. And because of that, we end up in places and doing things that we ought not. So God sometimes says no. Sometimes God says yes. One of the things I encourage us to do is just go back sometimes. If you're really struggling in your prayer life, just, you know, I suggested last week that some people, and it's a good idea if you decide to do it, just decide to keep a prayer journal. And maybe as you pray in your own daily life, write those prayers down. Just maybe jot them down if you want to go into detail. It's your own business or whatever. It's for your own personal use or whatever. But one of the things I found out, what I did, had done it consistently, is I've gone back and looked at one I did a while back, and I was floored by how many prayers God had answered. That sometimes I didn't realize I had asked him for in the first place. I had forgotten, or maybe I had moved on in a different stage of life, or maybe the situation had, you know, presided, or say was solved or whatever. But sometimes when that happens, we don't realize that God was working in the midst the whole time. You know, sometimes when we really think about how good God is, just sometimes just learn to look back in your life and see all the things that God has done. We get an example of this in 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. Hosea told Hezekiah basically that he would die from his illness and to get his house in order. Hezekiah then prayed that God would extend his life. Before Isaiah left the courtyard, God says, go back and tell him, I'm going to give him 15 more years. Now, he could have accepted it, but notice he petitioned God even when it didn't look good. Because Hezekiah was a righteous man at this point, I'm not perfect, but because he also petitioned God, God decided to grant him 15 more years on this earth. Sometimes God will answer our prayers if it's according to his will. James 4 talks about, I believe, verse 2 or 3, it talks about the fact that when we ask amiss, seeking to heap it unto our own lust. So the prayers that we ask God and petition God for, what's the primary motive? Think about that for a moment. Think about it in your own prayer life. If you boil it down to it, is it for Curtis's pleasure or is it for the glory of God? In your own prayer life, why do you ask God what you ask him for? He knows your heart better than you think he does because we can't hide anything from it. But why do you ask him that? You know, our prayer should always be consistent with our will be done. And oftentimes, the disconnect is our will doesn't line up with his will. So sometimes, some way, we feel slighted or that God didn't answer our prayers, but sometimes it's because we ask things that are amiss but not according to his will. Sometimes he says yes. And we thank God not only for the yeses, but also for the no's in life. God sometimes adds to our blessings. 1 Kings. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. We'll look at that one this morning for a little while. 1 Kings chapter 3. I want you to notice that, you know, at least Solomon in his young years was a very righteous person. Now, he turned a fool later on with some of his actions, but at least we can say for a little while, he was with God and God was walking with him. Let's begin at verse number 6 and read down through verse number 13. And it reads as such. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant, thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart, with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. Notice humility here. I ain't nobody. I don't even know how to go out and come back in. Now, most of us would have been bragging about our heritage, our family lineage. Well, God, I'm somebody. I'm the king's son. But I like Solomon's humility here. Sometimes we go to God in humility. Don't be surprised when he overloads our bucket, so to speak, with blessings. He wants to do those things because our heart is right. At this point in time, we see the heart of Solomon. Verse 8 says, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Solomon here gives us another example of effective prayer. He realized that he was God's servant, that he was here to serve God. Now, sometimes we believe that God is just our magic genie, and he's only here to give us our pleasures. A servant's heart always understands that his number one mission is to serve God. Verse 9 says this, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, not more power, not more money, not more influence. He says, all I want is an understanding heart to rightly judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? I'm nobody, God. I need your help. I can't do this by myself. So help me have an understanding heart. Have you ever asked God that in your prayer life? Just God, help me to have an understanding heart. Help me to understand. Help my your servant to do what's pleasing in your sight, and to have an understanding heart. Verse 10 says this, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now, if you go back and read, God says, I will give you whatever you ask for. Now, when you look at this, what if God asked you that today? What would it be? What list of goodies would you come up with? How much money would you put at the top of that? Because, you know, God, if I just had $1 million, $10 million, all my problems would be solved. No, sir, no, ma'am. If you can't handle $2, you can't handle $2 million. The reality of it is. So what would you ask God for? If he said, put your name in this bank, fill in the blank, whatever you ask for, I'll give it to you. What would you ask him for? Now, I want you to think about that. I don't need to know your answers. Think about that and maybe the things that pop into your head, but then also think about, does it line up with God's will? So it pleased God, not that he asked for riches and money, not that he asked to be more famous than David. He asked for an understanding heart. Verse 11 says this, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Now notice the things that's mentioned here, because this is where our list would have started. For God, you said I can have anything that make me more powerful. God, you ask me anything, strike all my enemies down, because I'm tired of dealing with them anyway. God, you said ask anything, you know how many bills I got, how behind I am on my bills? All I need is $1 million, and I'll be fine. Wrong answer. Sometimes God tests us the same way in life. He'll say, Curtis, what can I do for you? And I'm talking about in Scripture, not just speaking of me. I'm talking about in Scripture. When it says, ask whatsoever thou wilt, how do you answer that question? How do you answer the person? Because if we're not careful, we'll rattle off all these things that he could have asked for. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for vengeance. He asked for a self-understanding to discern judgment. Verse 12 says this, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall there be any like arise any like thee. Now I want you to think about what happened with this. He asked for an understanding heart. God says, because of this, I'm going to give you something that basically you won't see. That's why he's considered the wisest man on earth for a little while of his life. But I want you to notice what else came with that. Riches. He was the richest man in the world. Influence. He was the most influential person in the world. Power. He had the most power in the world, but that's not what he asked for. Be careful what you ask God for, because you might just get it. And when we ask for power and money and riches, that ain't always a good thing. You know, back then I used to pray for certain things to happen in my life, but I know looking back now, God gave me that when I asked for it, I'd have made a plumb fool out of myself. Knowing me the way I know now, if I'd have answered my prayers in the affirmative back then for some stuff I asked him for, I can guarantee you this, I wouldn't be here now. I wouldn't be doing his will. I had to learn. Sometimes we just need to ask God for wisdom and an understanding heart, and because our heart is right to receive everything else, then he showers those blessings down on us and adds to our blessings. This is what we see right here in Scripture. Verse 14, 13 says, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked for riches and honor, so that there should be none, be not any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Now you didn't ask for it, but because your heart was right, I'm going to give it to you. That's an awesome God. That's an awesome God. Sometimes we don't have because we ask for the wrong things and for the wrong purposes. Because you didn't ask for these things, I'm going to bless you with them. And then it says this. This is where he messed up at down the road. If thou will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did, then I will lengthen thy days. Now we see that Solomon was just like us, and we know he made some bad mistakes in his life. Verse 15 says, and Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Sometime, be careful what you ask for. You might get that and then some. Point number 5. Sometime God makes substitutions. Deuteronomy 30, verses 20 through 29. God did not allow Moses to go to the promised land himself, but he did allow him to see it. Now, he kept his promise to the nation of Israel, but he made a substitution for it. Now, we don't know why. Some people say, well, Moses, all he done for them people, and for 40 years he put up with them raggedy folks who wanted to kill him every turn and every corner, and he wasn't able to see it and live in it. That's God's business. I don't know. We know he should have spoke to the rock instead of striking it. We know that, but we don't know. So sometimes God makes substitutions. He's not allowed to, he did allow him to see it, though. Mary and Martha prayed for their brother to be healed. But guess what? Christ tarried for 4 days and didn't heal him initially. But oh my goodness, he had something better in mind for him, because they were able to see their brother raised from the dead. Now I want you to think about their own prayer life. We ask God for something, and maybe it seems like to us he missed an opportunity to bless us and come to us. Maybe it seemed like he's tearing a little bit. Don't give up. Because what they said was, God, if you'd only been here, my brother would still be alive. They still have faith in him. They even said, even though they don't understand, when he told Mary and Martha to go to the grave and roll away the stone, I don't understand, God, because it's probably stinking by now, but nevertheless, I roll away the stone. So because they had faith in God all the way to the end, even when they didn't understand, they saw their brother not only healed from sickness, but raised from the dead. Now, which one was more powerful? Now, we know he could have healed them from the sick. He didn't have to travel back. He did it time and time again just by speaking to existence. He didn't have to be there, but Christ was showing them something. He needs to show us something, too. That means when it seems like all is lost, don't give up. Don't give up. He may have something in the future for you that's going to really blow you up. You thought you were going to be happy if he'd give you that blessing. He may have something in the future for you that's really going to blow your mind and shake you to your core. Don't give up. This is what we see here. Point number 6. Sometimes God answers, wait. Jeremiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 7 tells us this. The remnant asked for God's direction, but they had to wait 10 days for an answer. Now, some of us won't wait 10 seconds for an answer. 10 days may be 10 years. It could be 10 hours. It could be 10 days. It could be 10 weeks. It could be 10 months. But yet and still, we must continue to pray, ask, knock, and seek. Job chapter 30, verse 20. Job cried out to God, but God did not respond right away either. Now think about Job and all the things he was going through. If anybody, in my opinion now, deserved to answer right then about what was going on, it's probably Job. Because the old Bible of mine tells us in the book of Job that he was more righteous than anybody else on earth. So how in the world could all this calamity come and there not be an answer? The Bible tells us that he even cursed the day he was born, but he sinned not. The reality is, we're all going to have our Job moments in life. There are going to be some things that happen to us that we don't get an explanation from right up front. There are going to be some things that even though we're trying to live as Christians ought to be and do our best to live a godly life, it's going to knock us to our knees. And we, sometimes like Job, may demand God give us an answer, and we won't get one right away. One of the things I had to learn to do when I was studying the book of Job, and it really did, this is one of the books, many of you know me, that I really struggled with reading, because I couldn't understand how somebody so righteous could go through so much. But then my mentor said, well, Curtis, you got to read the end of the book of Job first and then come back and read the rest. Because in the end, he was blessed sevenfold. He didn't understand, but God knew it. So why in the world would God say, has thou considered my servant Job? Now, I was thinking this when I was reading this book and studying it. He could have picked somebody else to set me an example today. He could have picked somebody who was unrighteous to show me how good he was. So why did he pick somebody righteous? Because the righteous suffer some things too. Because the righteous sometimes have to deal with things, situations in his life too. Death, loss of jobs, loss of income. Sometimes the righteous have to deal with that as well. But you got to read the end. First of all, God had to put Job back in his place. Sometimes God got to put us back into our place because we're the ones out of order. Think about that for a moment. He says, first of all, where were you when I hung this earth and the stars on nothing? Who are you, you little pipsqueak, you little knucklehead? Who are you to talk to the God of the universe and demand an answer? I've done that before, maybe not you. But God need an answer right now. That was kind of too big for my britches, wasn't it? I thought God owed me something. God don't owe me anything but death. But sometimes in those moments, the mindset like Job, sometime before he blesses the sevenfold, he's got to put us back in our place to let him know he's still God. Glory to God, because he always responds and answers prayer. In conclusion, I told you I wouldn't keep us long this morning. God worked through many ways to answer the prayers of his servants. He answers through other people, nature, governments, and daily providence. We cannot always understand how He will answer, but we must trust always that He will answer. Our main problem is we want to know when, how, where, who, and etc. And when God don't give us this, we begin to fret. We've asked God for something and we got dates in mind and the date passes, oh God, you didn't hear me. When God says no, maybe not right now, well God, you're doing me wrong. We begin to look around at other folks and think that God is only blessing them. We begin to even doubt whether even God exists. Your Bible and mine says, time and time again, if we walk in our ways and keep His commandments, He'll give us what we ask for if it's according to His will. Church, family, that's a done deal. That's a done deal. We're the ones who mess up that process. We're the ones who end up doubting. We're the ones who, when it doesn't look like it's good for us, that we begin to doubt who God is. God is trustworthy, and God is faithful. The Bible says in closing, Matthew chapter 7, He says, if we, being evil people, know how to give good gifts, how much more does God know how to do it? How many of us would give somebody who was starving and wanted some bread a stone? That would be cruel, wouldn't it? How many folks, if they asked for a fish, would give them an old no-shoulders or a snake to eat? Now, some people eat snakes, so I better change that a little bit. Because Brother Steve got on me last week. He said, you said something about catfish. I like catfish. I said, I'm sorry. Some people do like catfish, so I got to change it. Some people might like to eat snakes or, you know, eels or whatever. You know, some of us grew up eating whatever we could and catch. So I won't say that, but I also understand that God knows how to give us good gifts. And because of that, it tells us this at the end, because He's good to us, well, I learned to be good to everybody else too. We serve an awesome God. Prayer is one of our most effective means, and we don't always need to pray only when things are going bad. I say all the time, and I need to do a better job of this myself, sometimes our prayers need to be void of requests and just full of thanksgiving. One of the things that I do to snap myself back into reality in a spiritual sense is I stop my murmuring and complaining sometimes to God in prayer and just pour out my hearts in thanksgiving. You'd be surprised at how that calms the soul. Because guess what? We're to thank Him even for problems, situations, circumstances. That's what Romans 8:28 talks about, right? All things work together for good of those who love God according to His purpose. So even the bad things, even those things, even sometimes the bad decisions we make can work together for good of those who love God, continue to love God. We don't always make good decisions. We mess up. We fall short. But yet still, if we are faithful and stick with God, He can work that out for His own good. And that means it may not be necessarily good for us. I understand this in life, that sometimes we go through things, not necessarily for our benefit, but maybe to help somebody else along that you don't even know yet. God uses us that way. We're His vehicles. He has every right to. He purchased us with His own blood. So who am I to say that my situation can't help somebody else along the road that I ain't even met, you don't even know yet? That maybe just need to know how I made it through, how I made it past, how I got over. Don't underestimate how God uses us, not for our own, just like He did with Solomon, but to bless others. Sometime in life when you don't know what to do, just ask God for wisdom and understanding. He'll grant it to you. James tells us that. When we ask it for Him, He'll grant it to us freely. So ask Him sometime for wisdom. And in wisdom, get an understanding. So we'll be able to properly apply God's word. What must we do to be saved? Let's hear the gospel. Believe what we have heard. Repent of our sins. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of our sins. And then God places us into His body, the church. No voting. No probationary period. When we obey that form of doctrine for the right means and with the right heart, He adds us to His body. And then, what you're talking about, we know that at certain situations that memorials came up, but now the Bible tells us His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. We don't use it like we should. Maybe you do. Maybe it's just me. I know I could be have a much better prayer life, and I'm working on that as I grow as a Christian. But I also have come to know a long time ago that God does answer prayers. And He answers them according to His will at all times. And maybe you've fallen short. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while and fallen short, not measuring up. And what better time it is to get things right today. We know we fall short. We know we don't measure up. We know we miss the mark. I'm not saying everything needs to come before the congregation, but, you know, you should have already done it. If you do bring it before the congregation, you've already done it in your personal life. But sometimes we need to pray for someone. And that's one reason, one of the benefits of it. We're able to pray for you, whatever you're struggling with, that we can help you along the way, that God will forgive you. My Bible and yours says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And we can always pray for one another as we try to be more like Christ each and every day of our lives. So if you have one desire or the other, put on Christ and baptism, request special prayer. We ask you to please come forward as we sing a verse or two of...